The Church teaches that something more than a ritual takes place when a baby is baptized. What? The passage from Romans that we just heard answers that question. It teaches us the deepest meaning of Christian baptism. And what is that? First of all, that baptism obviously does more than bodily washing. Just a few drops of water do not do a very effective job of washing the whole body of even a baby. The washing of baptism touches the soul. The physical washing symbolizes the spiritual washing. But what more is there in it than just that? The baptism of Christ goes beyond that of the baptism of John the Baptist. John's washing of water symbolized soul washing, a purifying of motives and the deeds that were directed or are directed by those motives, kind of cleaning up your lives. But John was only the forerunner of Jesus. And the baptism of John was only the forerunner of Christ's baptism. Just as a house cleaning is sometimes done in preparation for a party. And so the Johannine baptism or house cleaning is called repentance. But then we ask, what is the Christian party that it prepared for? You remember that John the Baptist preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." But Jesus preached, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God has come." Now, what is the kingdom of God, and how is baptism its door? To baptize is a word taken from a Greek word, baptizo, which means to plunge into, to immerse in, to drown in. You recall a ship is baptized or christened when it plunges down into the water for the first time. Now, originally, Christian baptism was even more dramatic than that. The baptismal candidate was plunged under the water in a large baptismal pool. And of course, the person was then raised up. And that action was meant to be a sign of dying and rising up in Christ Jesus. Dying in Christ is something that happens before our physical death. Now, with little infants, it happens first in baptism, and then in faith, when the child freely chooses to affirm his or her baptism. But with adult converts, it happens first in faith, then in baptism. And Scripture regularly couples faith and baptism, never contrasts them. But we ask, what is it that dies in faith and baptism? And what is it that comes to life? Adam dies, and Christ comes to life in us. Now, Scripture usually puts it the other way. It says, in Adam, all died. In Christ, shall all be made alive. Now, whichever way we express this in-ness, we have here a great mystery. Paul uses so often that little word in. We are in Christ. When the angel announced to Mary, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God. When the angel said those words to Mary, the angel said really the same to us when we were baptized, to all Christian people, to the whole church, that we are offered God's own eternal life. We people are also invited to say the mysterious word, yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. It means that then we people too are spiritually impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And Christ is born in our souls, just as surely as Christ was born in Mary's womb. Now the fact that it happens inwardly, invisibly, spiritually, rather than outwardly, visibly, and physically, does not mean it does not really happen. We must remember, the Spirit is just as real as the body. And something as real and drastic as physical death and physical resurrection does happen every time a baby receives Christian baptism. In fact, if it does not happen, if we do not receive God's life, then we do not belong to Him. We are not in His family. Now, does this mean that all unbaptized people go to hell? The early church did ask that question, and the early church answered no. Simply because there is, in addition to baptism of water, also what we call the baptism of blood or martyrdom, witnessing, and also what we call the baptism of desire. Desiring baptism, desiring God. We must remember that our God looks on our hearts, not just on drops of water. Even water baptism saves only when accompanied by faith. The faith of the baptized person, when adult, or the faith of parents in the church family when it is an infant baptism. Now, just how it works is something of a bone of contention between Catholics and Protestants. But Catholics do not believe that it works like magic without faith. And most Protestants do believe that it is not only a sign or a symbol, but that it is also a seal of our incorporation into the family of God. In baptism, Christ really does unite us to Himself. And that, of course, is why sin is so awful. We are not just ourselves any longer, but through baptism, we are members of the body of Christ. And that is why St. Paul says, "How can I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a prostitute?" We must remember that baptism does free us from sin. In baptism, we died with Christ, and he who has died is free from sin, Paul says today. We are freed, but we are not always free. We are like the prisoners sitting inside a jail cell, even though the door has been opened. We are like the farmer, carrying a donkey on his back to market. And when a friend comes along and gives a ride in his cart, but when they get to market, the farmer's back is broken. For even when he rode in his friend's cart, he still carried the donkey on his back. The good news that we have is that we do not need any longer to carry the burden of sin and guilt. Jesus took it all away. His saving death bled away our poison. By his stripes, we are healed. By his wounds, we people are healed. Psychologists tell us that we act out our perceived identities. If we really believe that we are criminals, we will act like criminals. If we think of ourselves as old people, we will act like old people. If we think of ourselves as dead to sin, we will act like Christians. Baptism enacts within us the two most drastic changes in our lives, death and birth. Baptized into Christ's death, we die to our old self, the self that is enslaved to sin. And baptized into Christ's resurrection, we now already have within us the seed of that glorious self which will grace the halls of heaven when we go hand in hand with Christ there. If we believe what God has told us we are, new creatures, through our faith in baptism, then we people will begin to act our age, eternally young in spirit. Baptism initiates us into that eternal law of death to self, of self-giving, of love, which becomes the law of our life as a Christian people, because it is the nature of God who has placed his own life into our souls in baptism. That is what St. Paul meant by those mysterious words, that we carry about in our bodies now, all through our lifetime, the dying of Jesus, so that in our bodies, the life of Jesus may be revealed.